Macworld Podcast number 339 for Wednesday, January 30th, 2013. Hello again, everyone. This is Philip Michaels for the Macworld Podcast, and it is the day before the launch of Macworld iWorld. That's the annual Mac trade show and conference and exhibit. Not just Macs anymore, iOS and iPods and all sorts of things that are part of the Apple universe. And to discuss that, I have with me senior editor Chris Breen. Who's been to more than his share of Macworld Expos / Macworld iWorlds.
Yeah. This is, wow, I don't even know how many this is. This is the fourth iteration of this day since Apple came to the show, but many before that.
I believe my first Macworld Expo was January of 2000.
Wow.
Which it was the keynote where Steve Jobs declared himself CEO.
You kid you.
No. Yeah, I'm a youngster.
You missed the Gil Emilio.
The Gil Emilio by a whisker. In fact, I think Gil Emilio had just finished speaking by the time that I attended Macworld Expo for the first time.
Yeah.
So we mentioned this is year number four of Apple taking its proverbial trade show ball and going home, deciding, hey, we don't need you your trade shows anymore for reasons of its own, both understandable and mysterious. And I guess the question is, as always, what is the event like without Apple? Better, worse, different? Definitely different, I would say.
Yeah, it is different. It's I think a lot of people came because Apple was showing off their wares, and they had the huge stage and they had the huge area, and you could wander around and see everything that you would normally see in an Apple store anyway. And that's sort of what Apple's pitch was. When they were leaving the show, they said, well, we have a Macworld Expo 365 days of the year, and if you want to see our stuff, you just have to come to one of our stores. And that cuts both ways. If you could go to one of their stores, you don't really need to have them at Expo. You can go just to an Apple store, and there you are, and you've seen what you need to see. So it has provided the opportunity for third-party vendors who were overshadowed in the past to now get exposure so that they're not living under the shadow of Apple. But at the same time, some of the major vendors, when Apple left, said, oh, well, there isn't the big draw of the Apple booth, so maybe we won't come either. So it has a different collection of vendors than it once did. And also, the world of Apple has changed so much with iOS that instead of needing to have the huge printer booths and the huge server booths, now we have see a lot of small booths that have iOS, not only accessories, but also apps. There's an entire apps area. So if you're interested in seeing that kind of stuff, you can now, whereas in the past it didn't exist because of the market. And also, people would tend not to visit these smaller places.
One of the things that I have enjoyed about the past 3 years of the show that have lacked Apple's involvement is I have gotten to spend more time with developers and exhibitors who normally would get like a handshake and a smile. And I've got to run back to the office now and write about the new version of iCal,
right?
because Phil Schiller made an announcement, so I gotta go. But now you actually get to spend time with products that don't originate outside of Cupertino, and I do like that. The news guy in me, you know, misses the big splashy product announcement, eyes of the world on Moscone sort of thing that happens certainly. When Apple was producing things like iPhones and such at Macworld Expo keynotes, but there's a different vibe to the show now, and I kind of like it. I realize people go, well, of course he's going to say that because they're
lackey, they're stooge,
corporate tool. But no, I obviously enjoyed the big scene that was there when Apple was holding court, but I also appreciate the vibe of the show now.
Yeah, it is a different vibe, and it's I think in the old days, a lot of people who showed up to the show, and you still hear them complain, are those that came with the enormous bag, and they'd start at one end of the hall to the next, and they would try to get every freebie they could, and they'd cover themselves with badges. And although you can still pick up some free stuff, it's not like it was in the old days. And also, there were clearly the gawkers, and these are the people who would go to the Apple booth, and they see some device suspended in Lucite and say, oh, and then they could press their nose to the glass and smudge it. And that experience doesn't exist as it once did. But as you say, it is the opportunity to talk to people you wouldn't normally talk to and kind of get in on the ground floor. Every once in a while, you'll see something that looks really interesting, and it's a company that's come out with their first-time product, or they've been funded, and now they can afford to produce this thing. And you can say, I was there when? And then the next year you see, wow, this is a really going concern now. So it's a chance to discover new technologies.
And the other thing I like about it, and this is – let me contrast this with CES where I was earlier this month.
Oh, you poor man.
Well, I'm only now recovering. I'm only now able to talk about it. At CES, you have a mountain of flax and representatives and more often than not in booths and at Macworld iWorld you go to an app stand and you're talking to the guy who built the thing.
Right.
How does this work? Well, let me tell you, because I built it.
Right.
I'm the programmer and the marketer and the guy. And I think if you really want to roll up your sleeves and dig into a product, that's a great experience.
Yeah, far fewer trampolines, more solid content.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about we're sort of focusing on the exhibitor aspect, but that's not all there is to the Macworld iWorld experience, I think it is safe to say, correct?
Yes, there's lots of stuff happening at the show. So there is the exhibitor area, just as there always has been. This year the Macworld iWorld folks they're doing a little bit more celebrity content, which is interesting. They're doing Ashton Kutcher, who's going to be Steve Jobs in the upcoming movie.
He's not appearing in character, by the way, I think we should point out.
Right.
That we know of.
Yeah.
Because
that
would just be strange and weird and awkward.
Yes.
Plus, Noah Wiley did that bit a few years ago, and you know.
Yeah, I think Apple's probably got a patent on that now. So, and then I'm going to be speaking with Fred Armisen on Friday morning.
That would be Portlandia's Fred Armisen in Saturday Night Live.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he played Steve Jobs at one time on Saturday Night Live, and he's retired that character since.
So if you've ever played Steve Jobs in any commercial performance, you've been invited to this year's Macworld
exactly,
iWorld, I guess.
Right. Have you ever done a Steve Jobs? Okay, mm-hmm. You're in. But in this case, I don't know if you've watched Portlandia much, but they feature a lot of Apple products. And unlike a lot of other programs where you see that, there's a piece of tape over the brand, so things are masked out. And they kind of celebrate Apple products in this way. And I think it's because both Fred and Carrie are Apple fans, but also because of the world of Portlandia, those are the devices that those people would own, because a lot of it is about the cachet of having Apple products and being cool and hip. And
well, it's a very tech-savvy show.
Right. Very much so.
Yeah. So there's that, various events there. And, of course, there are the conferences and workshops and where you can rub shoulders with the big brains of the Mac and iOS world. Obviously, you're involved in that as well, I think.
My brain is going. Yeah. The rest of me is staying put. Mm-hmm. But my brain will be there in a jar, bubbling. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a few things. I'm doing a main stage session, a mountain lion session. So we'll be talking about tips and tricks for mountain lion. And then I'm doing a Mac 911 session that's based on the column, and that's really about troubleshooting iOS and Mac devices, and then the interview stuff. And then we also have our own very own Macworld Live stage, which I'm sort of putting together.
Why, let's talk about that and where that is and who can see it and what we'll be featuring.
If you're at the show and you have access, which means you have a $25 pass or better, you can go to our Macworld Live stage. It's on the second floor. So if you go up the escalators and then down around to where the down escalator is, our corner is in the northeast corner of the building. And plenty of room to sit, so you can take a load off. And we're running sessions from 11 in the morning, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, until 5 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. And then we will stop just before the drum circle starts on Saturday at 4 o'clock, which is not nearly as flaky as it sounds. It's actually a ton of fun. They did it last year, and it was really good. So that's worth sticking around for as well.
And what are some of the things that will be on the Macworld iWorld stage?
We have a wide variety of sessions. We're going to kick off Thursday morning with Dan Morin, who, if you haven't seen him in person, you definitely will because he's doing a ton of stuff. He has a session with called A Word from the Developers. So he'll have Paul Kafasis, Guy English, and Rob Ryan there, who are developers. So they're going to talk about what the experience is like being an iOS and macOS developer. Dan Miller, another – I should mention that most of these sessions are hosted by editors at Macworld. Dan Miller, who runs Macworld, is going to be talking workflow with a host of characters. Jackie Dove is going to be talking photography and video in the Mac. Our own Carlos
Rodella
does he's a gamer. He does all our videos, and you're going to see a lot of those this week. He's going to talk Mac gaming and what went wrong. So why the Mac platform, as powerful as it is not the primary gaming platform for a lot of people. They still use PCs and set-top boxes. And then Lex Friedman and Dave Wiskus are going to do a version of their Unprofessional Live podcast, which is a very popular podcast and very good. So
and I believe they get to talk about technology this time.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to be with Amy Jane Gruber this time, who is John Gruber's wife. And they're going to talk about technologies. Because the whole idea of Unprofessional is that they talk to tech people but not about tech, which is a very cool format. And that's Thursday. And then Friday – oh, speaking of Friday, and since you're listening to the Macworld podcast, I know that your favorite version of this podcast is the Pundit Showdown.
That is an outright lie.
It is not. I get nothing but fan mail saying, I love the Pundit Showdown. Oh, are you on too? Oh. And so our own Philip Michaels, who's on the other side of the mic here, is going to be doing Pundit Showdown. Who do you have on this time?
It is a panel that is entirely devoid of Macworld personalities.
Perfect.
But interesting tech luminaries like Jeff Carlson of Tidbits and a frequent Macworld contributor, Armando Rodriguez, who works for both our sister sites TechHive and PC World and has appeared on the Pundit Showdown before, Eric Malinowski, who has worked for Wired and is starting with BuzzFeed and has worked for Deadspin in the past. And Jesse Char will also be a panelist. It will be an interesting mix, and it will probably end all of our careers. And we're looking forward again to setting the bar low for the rest of the Macworld iWorld stage.
Excellent. So do you have odds on any of these? Hasn't Carlson won at one time?
Yeah, Jeff Carlson won last year's live show.
Oh. So I should put my money on Carlson?
Nah, not necessarily. Really? I don't want him to get the big head. You see, I don't like making predictions because I'm also the scorekeeper.
Oh, that's
in addition
right.
To the host.
It's rigged. That's,
yeah.
That's why I never
no,
win.
No, it's kept competitive.
Right. Okay. So that happens at, I think it's noon.
Noon on Friday.
Noon on Friday.
High
so,
noon.
And these are always a hoot. You absolutely have to come to see that. There's going to be an Apple in 2013 session on Friday at 11, and that's with Dan Morin, Serenity Caldwell, Lex Friedman, Dan Frakes, and John Moltz. Super Art Fight, which was hugely popular last year. Serenity Caldwell is going to host that again. And basically, you have two designers, one each with a laptop or an iOS device, and they're doing art in a competitive fashion. If you haven't seen it before.
It was kind of maniacal last year with people bouncing around the stage. It was weird.
I expect the same thing this year. We'll have back Macworld's Best of Show Awards. So that is the opportunity. Well, basically what happens on Thursday is the Macworld editors stream out across the floor. They look for stuff. They have already previewed some things. And then there's some series of meetings over the next 24 hours where the editors decide what looks cool on the show floor, and they vote, and people win. And Roman goes along with his entourage, and I think he wears a crown and a long velvet cape, and presents people with a Best of Show award. And then some of them come on stage and talk about what they've developed and why it's cool. So it's a nice way to kind of filter out what we think is particularly worth seeing while you're here. Then you can go by and talk to the developers. And then ending on that day, I talk with the folks at iFixit, who are those, if you're ever looking for teardown porn, they're the ones who deliver it. So any new device that comes out of any significance, they fly it across the world to make sure that they're among the first people to get it. They rip it apart. Maybe they put it back together and let you know how the thing operates. Plus, they have a very green take on technology. So they're always interesting to talk to. This year, they're going to bring a couple of devices and tear them down on stage and hopefully put them back together as well.
All right. And that's the Friday. Is there anything on Saturday?
There's stuff on Saturday as well. So the Incomparable Live, which is a very popular podcast that's hosted by Jason Snell. Jason's out of town this week, so Dan Morin is going to be hosting this time. It will feature once again the loquacious Lex Friedman, Dan Frakes, supposing that he gets well, because Dan's sort of habit is the weekend before the show, he comes down with some horrible illness. And so don't shake Dan's hand if you see him this week.
No, he'll be broadcasting from within a plastic baggie.
Exactly right. And then Serenity Caldwell will be there as well. And these are regular participants of the show. We're going to talk after that. I'm going to host the next one, which is called Cool Products On and Off the Show Floor. It will be something about some of the things that we see on the show floor, and Lex will be on that one. Dan Frakes, again, sitting way across the stage from me, and Jason Cross from TechHive. And really, we're going to just talk about the kind of technology that we use in our everyday lives that we think is just cool, beyond sort of like, oh, yeah, well, I have an iPhone or I have a Galaxy or whatever. But a lot of things that we depend on that we think are a lot of fun to use. And if we see stuff on the show floor, we'll mention that as well. And then Serenity Caldwell is back. Boy, she's busy too.
Yeah.
And she's going to talk to David Sparks, Adam Engst, and Tanya Engst about alternative publishing. And if you are thinking of getting into the ebook business or transitioning from printed media to electronic media, this is something you want to tune into, because these are people who have been doing it successfully for a number of years, and they know how it's put together. And I watched their session last year. And it really was invaluable. It's a great thing. And then finally, we wrap up that day with Ask the Editors. And that will be me, Dan Morin. Philip, you are going to be there as well.
I will be there, but I will refuse to answer any questions.
Dan Miller will also be there. And Dan Frakes, again, don't touch him. And the Ask the Editors session is really, we come there with no agenda. We basically sit down, we open the floor to people's questions, and we say, what's on your mind?
It could just be 40 minutes of us staring awkwardly at each other.
It could be, but it turns out it never is. No. The people have things they want to talk to us about. And it isn't simply about, well, how do you do your work, and I do or don't like this about whatever you do. But people tend to say, look, you guys are in the business of knowing about this stuff. What do you think about Apple doing this, or where do you think this is going? So really, it's just a chance to pick our brains. And I should stress that if you can't come to the show, although we'll miss you deeply.
I was about to ask, Chris, what if I was a fool and didn't save up all my bread to buy a flight to San Francisco, California, USA?
Well,
on Trans Love Airlines.
Yeah. I love that song. Good reference.
How can I see these wonderful sessions?
Well, I'll tell you how you can. You just go to the Macworld homepage Thursday, Friday, and or Saturday, and we're going to be live streaming each and every one of these events. So if you can't make it, again, we'll miss you, but you can just tune in. And the stream is live. It's great. There will be occasions when the people hosting these things will say, if you have a question, tweet us, and we'll let you know. It'll probably be at the Macworld account with a certain hashtag. And you can tweet the people on stage, and if they have time, they will read your tweet aloud, and as long as it's not, you know, inappropriate. And they may answer your question.
Those are the very tweets I will read aloud.
Yes.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm sorry.
School marm.
We will retweet those. So you have the opportunity to catch up on everything we're doing, even if you can't be here. So please tune in.
So that is a glimpse at some of the things to expect from Macworld iWorld this week. We have a couple of colleagues, Lex Friedman and Dan Morin, who want to talk about what they're looking forward to at this week's conference.
I'm senior writer Lex Friedman.
And I'm senior editor Dan Morin.
And you know, Dan, one of the things I'm most looking forward to at Macworld/iWorld, I believe you pronounce the slash, is the very first official event of the proceedings. We're going to be live blogging it, you and I.
That's right.
Ashton Kutcher and Josh Gad, the star of the movie Jobs, and hopefully when you're hearing this...
I believe it's pronounced, it's J-Obs.
I hope when you're hearing it say that, yes, you realize the J I pronounced is lowercase, and the Obs is all uppercase. They star as... Kutcher is Jobs, and Gad is Wozniak, and they're going to have a conversation with Macworld iWorld showrunner Paul Kent to talk about, I guess, playing Steve and Steve in the movie. And we're going to live blog every moment of that hard-pressing interview.
It's going to be, there's going to be details that you have never heard before and that you will likely never hear again. What? They may be completely fictional. It's unclear.
You know, Dan, one thing I'm curious about is, and my guess is no, to be honest, but will they address the fact that Wozniak, basically has said that he thinks the movie is garbage, that he refused to serve as a consultant for the film after seeing the first script because
chosen to act as a consultant to the other Steve Jobs film that is coming out, which is being written by Aaron Sorkin.
The one I intend to see.
Right. Well, the one we all intend to see. I want to know if they're going to throw down with Noah Wiley and Joey Slotnick, who played Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in the TNT, I believe it was 1999 TV movie, Pirates of Silicon Valley.
You know, I've heard that Wiley has thrown his hat into the ring with the Sorkin movie. I don't believe they've cast their Jobs yet, but he wants the chance to play that role again.
He's the only person to ever have been approved probably by Steve Jobs in playing that role.
And he's done it on at least two stages, you know, the stage of the film and then the stage of a Macworld Expo.
Indeed. But he probably won't be there this year.
That's my guess. And that the Josh Gad and Ashton Kutcher conversation with Paul Kent is going to be on Thursday, January 31st at 9 a.m. on the main stage.
Lex, can I tell you something I'm excited about?
I suppose.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm pretty excited to hear that there are a trio of guys from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory who will be talking about the software, hardware, and whole process of dropping a rover on Mars.
Did they do that all from like an iPhone?
I think that these days you can pretty much do it from an iPhone. I'm pretty sure that rover's like, it's like the Parrot AR drone that we tested. It's basically the same thing.
Got it.
You have an iPhone, you tilt it around, and your thing drives around Mars.
Do I recall, isn't the Mars rover powered by like a power PC chip or something?
I don't remember if the current one is, which is Curiosity, which is the all three of these gentlemen worked on the Curiosity project. But at least I think some of the previous versions, maybe this one too, PowerPC still exists a lot as a embedded platform. Anyways, I'm really intrigued to hear about this. I followed the Mars rover stuff very closely during the landing, and you know I think it's a really interesting dramatic story. And I think we've seen in the photographs they have of some of their mission control setup and everything that a lot of them are Mac users. So I will be interested to hear what kind of role Apple technology, if at all, played in this whole process.
Is Mohawk guy one of those guys?
I don't think so. It's the lead flight director, David O, the activity planning and sequencing software manager, that's a mouthful, James Crean, and software chief engineer, Ben, I'm going to butcher his name, Cichy, C-I-C-H-Y. Anyways, so that sounds like it could be a lot of fun and really intriguing, and it's kind of cool to get a whole insight into that process of space. And that is on Thursday, January 31st from 2 p.m. to 2:45 p.m. I would love to be able to tell you what room it's in, but I cannot find it on the schedule.
By the way, just in case you're feeling like maybe your computer doesn't have enough RAM, I did confirm that the Curiosity Mars rover has a whopping 256 megabytes of RAM. So, just going to say.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. Some of the other things I'm looking forward to at iWorld / Macworld reversed is, let me try that again. One of the other things I'm looking forward to at Macworld / iWorld is some of the talks that you and I are involved in. We're doing some together and some apart because we are separable, barely, but somewhat. I think
I cry a little bit every time we get separated.
I'm hoping you'll attend, since you're not a part of my panel on whether Apple has forgotten power users. The extended title is iCloud, App Stores, and Other Things to Fear, : Has Apple Forgotten Power Users? Basically, my contention is that perhaps with the simplifications that Apple's working to make on iOS and those same simplifications getting ported increasingly to the desktop on OS X, the question is, should power users be afraid that some of the features they love and the access that they crave on their Macs maybe, you know, going the way of the dodo, and whether that's cause for concern or not. So I'm going to be joined by John Gruber from Daring Fireball, Matthew Panzerino from The Next Web, Paul Kafasis, is that right?
Never heard of him.
Paul Kafasis from Rogue Amoeba, and Renee Ritchie from iMore.
That's an excellent crew.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't handle with the, you know, second tier folks.
Do you think that Apple has actually just really just forgotten about them? Like, oh my God, oh, we have all these power users.
It's possible that, you know, the Reminders app only came after power users had long existed, so it's possible they just haven't remembered. But no, I think that I don't know what the conclusion of the panel will be. I literally don't know what the other guys think. But I, you know, the fact that Mountain Lion has built into it that option where you can say, only let me install apps from the Mac App Store, I don't think that means that one day you're only ever going to be able to install apps from the Mac App Store and other third-party apps, or, you know, apps from third-party sources won't be allowed. But I do think that it shows that Apple is getting increasingly curious about how much can it clamp down computers to make them simpler, since there's a lot more people who like simple than who like, you know, the power user complexity.
Sure. Sure, that makes a lot of sense. I think there are some other interesting things that we should talk about at Macworld. For example, I'm intrigued. There's a whole lengthy track of iPhonography sessions. So
that's not a word, Dan.
It is now. I've checked my dictionary. All the people out there who use their iPhones as cameras, and there are a lot of them. They, you know, you can do pretty well with just, you know, pulling your iPhone out and shooting a picture on it, but you can do even better with some tips and tricks from a lot of these experts who really know their photography stuff. So you can learn how to take even better pictures and how to do some editing and tweaking. There's a whole lengthy series of these talks. I think there's a couple every day on slightly different topics, including accessorizing your camera, taking it just from shooting and turning it into, you know, more of an artsy image. What else? Yeah, there's a ton of these various iPhonography sessions. So I think there's a lot of options there to learn about how to get even more of that iPhone camera, which is great because we all carry it around with us all the time.
We do. And, you know, of the several times you and I will appear on stage together, Dan, we're going to be hosting an event about iOS 6 features that you may have overlooked. You and I are.
I haven't looked closely at those.
Yeah. But the thing is, I am willing to personally guarantee that every single person who attends that event will learn at least one thing about iOS 6 that they didn't know already.
I'm willing to guarantee they will learn exactly one thing.
Well, it's actually the overlooked feature of iOS 6. We've just got the one, but we're really excited about it.
We're going to talk about it 500 times.
Right.
No, I agree. I think that they, you know, like I said, people carry their phones around with them everywhere. And maybe you're doing something you don't realize is not the most efficient way to be doing it. And maybe there are things that you've never learned about your iPhone. So I think that this is a session really everybody should attend.
Right. If you don't attend it, then clearly you hate America.
And we wouldn't want you to do that. I'm also looking forward to seeing, although I'm not sure I will have a chance myself to see it based on scheduling conflicts, but Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live and from Portlandia will be talking with our own Chris Breen about using Apple technology. I heard him a couple weeks ago on, he was on the NPR show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he was pretty funny. He talked about how as a kid he always wanted to be famous when he grew up. So he seems to have, you know, he's hit his mark in that insofar as, you know, performing on TV goes. But now he's appearing on stage at Macworld Expo, which I think we can both agree is a major milestone.
He was also just recently on an episode of This American Life with Ira Glass, wherein he spent the entire episode impersonating Ira Glass on This American Life. It was fun.
Yeah, he's quite the impersonator.
Yes. That's true. Well, and, you know, of course, the other big thing we're all looking forward to is everything on the expo show floor. I truly, although I've seen, you know, the full list of vendors, I don't know all the products that are going to be unveiled and the announcements that are going to be made, but I fully expect that the floor is going to be jam-packed with iPad and iPhone accessories and cases, I fully expect that we're going to see some novel devices, whether they use suction cups or vacuum sealing or waterproofiness or something else. But whatever it is, it's going to be exciting. Not to mention the, I think it's 74 acres this year, maybe 74 hectares of iOS app developers showing off their apps. So I'm excited to see that too.
I kind of picture it like an old timey carnival barkers sort of standing there yelling at you about what their iPhone app does.
You know, if I wanted to stand around and get yelled at, I could just stay home.
That's, you know, or go to, you know, pretty much any city in this country. I want to put in one last plug there for a presentation that you will not be joining me on stage for, but I think you will be attending, which is a trivia contest that I am co-hosting with the aforementioned Paul Kafasis called Answer Please. It's a Apple trivia extravaganza, and we will have prizes to give out to attendees who show up to play. So it's kind of a pub quiz style event where you show up with a few of your friends, or you can join a team with some other people, and you compete to recall trivia about Apple and Apple products.
Have you revealed what any of the prizes are yet?
We have not, but I think I can say safely that they are uniquely suited to Apple product users.
You're giving away Tim Cook.
I'm not giving him away.
Okay.
It's you get to have dinner with Tim. No.
Yeah.
It's a date with Tim Cook.
You get to have Tim Cook for dinner.
Don't know. No. He doesn't. He's okay with cannibalism, but not that kind of cannibalism.
Cook Tim Cook.
Is there anything else you're excited about, Lex?
Well, getting to see you, Dan. That's the other exciting part.
It's the best part of Macworld Expo. I mean, me,
Macworld / iWorld.
Thank you, Lex and Dan. What can you expect from Macworld.com? Well, plenty of coverage. Chris mentioned the live streaming that will be appearing on Macworld's homepage between the hours of 11 and 5 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and I think 11 to 4 on Saturday. Lots of reports filed from the show floor from our editors as they scurry about looking at many of the new products making their debut, slideshows and photos of what we see. And of course, we'll also take some of those Macworld live sessions and turn them into podcasts and videos for your viewing pleasure. So plenty to look forward to in the next few days and then the week beyond that as we deal with the repercussions from Macworld. And frankly, I'm looking forward to the show, Chris. How about you?
I am too. Can't wait.
Okay. And we hope you're looking forward to it as well. We hope you're looking forward to more podcasts from Macworld. And if you're still hungry for podcasts after that, hey, why not check out our friends at TechHive and their Play This podcast, which is also available on iTunes. Just search for it in iTunes. You can find out all that they're talking about there involving games and digital entertainment and technology, and it's a pretty good listen. Highly recommend it. At any rate, I'd like to thank Lex Friedman, Dan Morin, and Chris Breen, as well as you, the listener. This is Philip Michaels. We'll talk to you next week.